This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442, for the Canadian office and offices overseas. Listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our websites. They are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. This is number 4 in the addicted society. We're certainly living in it. They're addicted to so many different things that it is really something. But, as I covered last time, the most difficult addictions to overcome are substance abuse, be it drugs, legal or illegal, be it whatever other substance that you're going to have. Now, a lot of people say, you know, you ask some people, are you on drugs? They say no. But they don't tell you that smoking pot, they don't consider being a drug. And so, when you look at what is happening, and substance abuse is the worst. Now, a television addiction, it's easier to make up your mind to hit the switch. Pornography addiction is a little harder to do because it's in your mind so much, but you can turn off the computer and not play the DVDs. But substance abuse is entirely different. And people need a lot of help on that. But just like I covered last time, if you do not make up your mind and finally make the decision if you are on substance abuse to quit. And what has happened when people get into substance abuse, they start out and think, well, I can handle it. Well, it's not going to affect me. I'll never get addicted. And they don't understand how powerful that these drugs are. And they don't realize what they're doing to their lives, to their families, mothers and fathers and their own children. A comment was made that what the schools do with Ritalin, and Ritalin is very close to cocaine. And they get addicted, and they start at a young age. And the reason that it is because, number one, there's no discipline at home, and there's no discipline in school, and they do not have enough men teachers to have enough authority to rule over the boys, and it's mostly boys that are on Ritalin because all of these feminist women cannot handle boys. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to do it. They don't think like boys. They don't think like men. And so the only way they can handle it is drug them out. So here you have a generation coming up that is dumbed down, that is stooped down, that is drugged down, and by time they get to teenage, they're already hooked. Then mix in illicit sex and all the other things that go with it, and you have got a society that is headed for disaster, which we are. Not only Ritalin, but also on the playground. There are those giving it out free and get them hooked early. And what happens in families when substance abuse comes along is that it costs a lot of money. They end up not working. They end up stealing. They lose their homes. They lose their cars. They lose their jobs. Parents trying to help them out. They lie to them. They rob them in the sense that they say they'll do things. I know of one family. They spent $8,000 for 6 weeks rehab. The guy went in there and everything was good, fine, lovely roses, came out and bam, right back to cocaine. Because he in there did not come to himself and he did not have a confrontation with God and his word. And that's the key. You've number one, in order to overcome, because last week I covered repentance, recovery, and reprogramming. There's got to be that repentance first. You've got to come to yourself. You've got to come to God. Not just a matter of admitting, like with Alcoholics Anonymous. Everyone gets up there and says, my name is so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic, while he's sucking on candy and puffing on a cigarette. He's still an addict. See? Admission won't work. Just like this MSNBC thing in entrapping men coming after children in their pedophilia case. They all said, oh, this is my first time. Then they catch them the second time and they say, oh, I need help. They haven't said, I'm a dirty, rotten pedophile. And I'm repenting to God, never again to get involved in it. No, see, they blame other people. Oh, I need help. Oh, it's a society. No, it's your lust. No, it's your selfishness. All substance abuse revolves around lust, lawlessness, and selfishness. Just for you. You think nothing about your family, think nothing about your children, nothing about your husband, nothing about your wife, nothing about the repercussion on the rest of the family, nothing about the repercussion in the society, nothing about the repercussion of all of those tax dollars going to try and enforce and help and stamp out and everything. And I tell you what, someone said if you want a real eye-opener, go to a big city emergency hospital room on Friday night, where they have all of those who come in with ODs. And what do they have on Friday night to desecrate the Sabbath? All of their parties, all of their rock concerts, all of the things where all of this goes on. And it's something that this society is, as I mentioned in the first one, possessed of the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah and whoredoms, and possessed with the spirit of drugs. And that all comes from Satan the devil. And that all comes from the enemies of God. So before a person can really make any progress, he or she has to come to the point of understanding that they have sinned against God, they have sinned against their family, they have sinned against themselves, they have sinned against their bodies, and the only way out is to turn to God. Now, they can, in some cases, make some progress and make some improvement without going to God directly. However, that's very rare and few in between. Very rare and few in between. Now, let's come to Matthew 4. Let's look at something. I mentioned this on another sermon before this, but I'm going to mention it again because it's important. Because a lot of people think, well, if you study the Bible, you're religious. If you believe God, which is different than believing in God, because if you believe in God, you're no different than the demons. They believe in God and tremble. People don't believe God. Well, the Bible is only for those people who want it. And they don't understand that God is going to judge them by the words in this Bible, whether they know it or not. Now, here's the scripture. Let's come here to verse 3. After Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Matthew 4 and verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread, which Jesus could have done just like that. But had he done it, he would have obeyed Satan, and Satan would have become his God, because whoever you obey, that's your God. So if you are a slave of an addiction of any kind, that addiction is your God. You'll work for it. You'll pay for it. You'll lie for it. You'll do anything for it. Some people even kill for it. That's your God. Now, whether you shoot it up in your arms, stick it in your nose, put it in your mouth, that is your God. Now, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, all religious people. No, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, who's man? In this sense, that's the plural of every human being on earth. From the time of Adam till the time that there are no more human beings. Now, let's also understand something else. This does not have to do with just people in the church. This is all human beings who are walking the face of the earth at any time during any point in history. God expects them, if they are not converted, to obey in the letter of the law. If they are converted, to obey in the spirit of the law. Now also, what else does this tell us? What else does this tell us? That everything in the Old Testament has been endorsed by Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as New Testament replaces the Old. The New Testament spiritually amplifies and magnifies the laws of God, as Jesus said. Now, that's why in the New Testament publication we have the appendix and also in the harmony, how did Jesus fulfill the law and the prophets? Very important to understand. He did not at any time do away or abolish. Anything that he did to improve from the physical of the old covenant to the spiritual of the new covenant, you will see was to make the standard higher, to make it spiritual, and to make it permanent. So this tells us that it applies to everyone. Now, we are going to see that while there may be different programs that people can get into in the world, while they may be taught to think positively, while they may be taught to overcome certain things, They haven't come to the fundamental realization that the only way that they can change is through God, through His Word, and through His Spirit. And this is where it has to be. Can't be any other way. For a permanent change. Well, you also have to consider the people who have been raised in a society where God has been removed from their lives, removed from the school, removed from their churches. How do you do it? You have to tell them that the place to begin is you need to find God. And you need to find it in the Word of God. And you need to understand, as much help as people can be, God can help you even more. His Word can help you even more. That can help you reprogram your mind. Now, it may seem like a very foreign thing to them to turn to God, but that's the very reason why the Word of God is here, so they can start someplace. They've got to start someplace. So even those who don't believe in God and still make a measurable recovery, well, that's commendable, but everything that they do that is in a positive way is based somewhere, somehow, on the Word of God, whether it is directly stated or not. Now, let's look at the reprogramming that has to happen. And it is this. When people get involved in addiction, they lower the standards of right and wrong, good and evil. And they blur all of these into a way of thinking where these things are not wrong. And the reason that the addiction comes is because when they get to this point, they have nothing where they can just, you know, say no. They have no standard. They have no foundation. And so this is why in the Word of God, the place to begin is not with conversion. The place to begin is with getting the right things into your mind, and then conversion can come later if that's what God wants. Now, let's come here to Proverbs. Proverbs 7. And the book of Proverbs, as we're going to see, is the place to begin. And the book of Proverbs is not a doctrinal issue concerning salvation, Sabbath, holy days, or any of those things. The book of Proverbs is designed to give all people in the letter and in many cases the spirit of the law, how they need to live their lives. And this is what is so important. So here's why you need the Word of God. And here's how you begin to do it. Chapter 7, before we get to chapter 7, come over here to chapter 8. And let's review this one. Verse 13. As I mentioned, to admit you have a problem is perhaps the first half step. To really understand that you have a problem, begin to cope with all the consequences of it, and begin to realize what you need to do about it becomes another thing. Verse 13, Proverbs 8, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You have got to come to hate what you are doing with such a passion that it gives you a motivation to not do it. And that's the beginning of the fear of the Lord, and that's the beginning of reinstituting a conscience that has been so destroyed by being addicted and compromising everything that you know and that you do. Now, here are the things that cause all the problems that people are in. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth, do I hate? So this means a complete change in thought pattern and behavior. Now, the way that you rewire, come over here to chapter 7, and let's pick it up here in verse 1. So this is going to take some effort. Not every one of the recovery programs that they have classes that the different ones attend, and they learn to identify things, and they learn how to get their thinking squared around to a certain rate. But here is the way to break through even that a little bit more. My son, keep my words. You do it through the book of Proverbs. And lay my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Just understand this. For you to live and overcome and survive and get out of this addiction, you've got to keep the commandments of God. And it begins right here in the book of Proverbs. How do you orient your mind? Well, the way you orient your mind and get it reprogrammed is to put the right things in there. So that's what it says here. Keep my law and live, and my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them upon your fingers, write them upon the table of your heart. Now, this tells us something very important, because this is all about programming the mind and the thinking that you have. So if you've succumbed to any addiction, you've got to reprogram your mind this way. Now, at first, this is going to be very alien to a lot of people, because growing up in a society where God is not around, though they've had the Bible everywhere, it's a difficult proposition. But it can be done. Bind them upon the table of your heart. Now, let's come back here to chapter 3, and let's review it again, where it says it again. And wherever it says something like this, it means that it's important. And in overcoming an addiction, repetition to reprogram is vital. Repetition to reprogram the mind is vital. So key things you have got to repeat and repeat over again and over again. And this is what the book of Proverbs does. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, mercy and truth then have to do with character, the Word of God, commandments of God, right thoughts, and write them on the table of your heart. So this tells us how then, what, rather, we need to do to reprogram the mind. Then it says, so shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now let's come over here to chapter 4 again, because this also bears repeating. Now this becomes the heart and core and the central way to overcome addictions, rather, and to get yourself reprogrammed where your thinking is getting squared around. Because whenever you're on a substance abuse or addicted to anything, your thinking has been all messed up. And you may have a lot of various mood swings. And as I mentioned before, you may go along, and because of health problems that you have brought upon yourself because of the abuse that you have been giving to your body and to your mind, you also need to take care of your health. And sometimes these things will be residual in your body and your liver and come back and hit you again. Well, that's all of the process of getting it out of your system. So you've got to have both. The mental reprogramming and the health conditioning in order to get yourself back on the right way. Now, verse 18. Now, here is the difference. Here's part of the reprogramming. Absolutes. Right, wrong. Truth, error. Sin, obedience. Now, this is what Proverbs does. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. And if you've been addicted to something, think of all the darkness that you have gone through. Think of all the misery that you have suffered and caused other people to suffer. Think about the depressions that you have had. Think about the things that you have brought to others on it. And it is a way of darkness. And here's what happens when you are addicted. They know not at what they stumble. They have fears. They have anxieties. They have all kinds of problems and difficulties because of it, you see. So there is the contrast. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, how many times have we read about the heart here? Three times, right? Yes. Very important. That's part of reprogramming. Now, a simple way to start reprogramming is this. Memorize the Ten Commandments. Memorize them. Then start memorizing some of the Proverbs. And let that be in your mind and go into your mind so that it's, because when it does, your mind is a fantastic thing that God has created, and you can reprogram your mind. They've been able to do this with people who have had brain tumors, and they've had to take out one half of their brain. And through therapy and reprogramming and teaching, they're able to recover to a very high degree every aspect of thinking and learning and speaking. But they have to really apply themselves to it. So you need to realize how much you need to apply yourself to. And it talks about in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all your flesh. This is going to give you a good attitude, a positive attitude, a right way, a coming out of the depths of the abuse that you have been in, whether it is substance abuse or whether it is porn addiction or whether it is smoking cigarettes or whatever it is. It will help you. Now, verse 23, again, the fourth time about the heart. Keep your heart. Now, Moffat translates this, guard the door of your mind. See, keep your heart. Guard the door of your mind. with all diligence. You are responsible for what goes into your mind and stays in your mind. Now, some things can go in your mind and you can get them out of your mind. But you have to guard it. Now, here's why. For out of it, that is out of your heart, are the issues of life, the very thing of how to live, why you're here, where you're going, what are you going to do, how are you going to repair all the damage that has been done because of your addiction? How are you going to find yourself? How are you going to be stable? How are you going to be able to control your emotions? How are you going to do all of these things? See, the deeper the substance abuse and the difficulty that a person is in, the more they have to come back to ground zero and start everything all over again. That's what's important to remember, and that's what you're doing. Out of it are the issues of life. That's why, in being addicted, your life is all messed up. Your life is upside down. A lot of people end up doing crimes and things where, because of drug addictions, they steal, they commit murder, manslaughter, beat up people, and all because they're addicted. We can just stop and think for a minute here. What a fantastic thing is going to be when the kingdom of God is on the earth. None of that's going to happen. Now, there's another book out. I haven't gotten it yet. But I think it's going to be a very good book by Dr. Laura Schlesinger, which is Bad Childhood, Good Life. And the long and short of that book is this. Regardless of what has happened in your childhood or in your life, stop blaming other people. Stop blaming the circumstances. You got yourself in the circumstances, you fell into it, and you gave into it. So you've got to stop saying, well, he did it, or he did it. You know, just like those pedophiles they caught on MSNBC. Oh, this is my first time. I've never done it. Every single one of them. No. Oh, Costco has that book, Bad Childhood, Good Life, $14.95. Let's talk a little bit about Ritalin again, because a comment was brought up that I mentioned, but we'll talk about a little bit more, which is this, which is that kids in school are given Ritalin, and they're innocent victims of it, and they're told that they need this. And then when they get out of school, they're addicted to it, and now they're ripe for a cocaine addiction, and they're told that that is wrong. So you see, not only are we dealing with substance abuse, we are dealing with adult abuse of children by giving them drugs. And the whole society, you look, when you watch the news, how many are drug ads? Almost all of them. And it is Satan's endeavor to addict this nation, to destroy it. And so it's a perfect setting in an atheistic school where there is no God, where there are feminist women who destroy little boys and they can't control them. Give him drugs, give him drugs, give him drugs, a drug for this, a drug for that, a drug for the other thing. What did the world do for thousands of years without the drug companies? So what do you do when you grow up and you've been reared on Ritalin? You're still faced with the same choices we're talking about here. If you want to get your life squared around, you're going to have to do this. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that are suffering from it and going through it, and it's really quite a difficult thing for them. So this is where we are on it. And also, a lot of parents, they don't want to take care of the kids anymore, so they turn them over to TV, they turn them over to fast foods, they turn them over to video games, they turn them over to unsupervised playing with other children, they turn them over to daycare centers, they turn them over to teachers, and teachers are all frustrated because they can't control the kids because they're not controlled at home, and so you have one great huge problem that is going to impact this nation in the next few years, and the biggest thing we're going to be confronted with is overcoming addiction from those who grew up being addicted to the drugs and to the system and to the way that it is. And I'll tell you what the final solution is going to be to a lot of it. The only way out of it with the state is put the mark of the beast on them so you can control them. So back to what we need to be doing here, because this is an important thing that we need to understand. Because if you're not a child who has been victimized by it, and if you have come through the system and you have grown up in it, and you don't know what to do with your life, and you're fighting all kinds of wrong thoughts, depressions, and all these sort of things, you have got to get on a health cleansing program and a mental cleansing program that does not involve drugs or medications, but where you can use those things to clean your system out and get it functioning correctly so you can begin to think. So the first point in straightening out is get to a point where you can begin to think. Now, chapter 5 talks about the strange woman. Now, let's not use this for just pornography, sex addiction, adultery and fornication, though right now it's coming out in the news that how many people are addicted to sex and they have sex clubs where they have swinging adults where they swap husbands and wives and all of this sort of thing on carnival cruises and in hotels and things like this. I mean, this world is going nuts. But what it has to be is that you have got to combine some of these proverbs that we have seen, how you've got to hate the evil. Now, if you don't, it says right here, verse 8, remove your way far from her. Now, substitute her for whatever your addiction is, pornography, substance abuse, alcohol abuse, gambling addiction, food addiction, whatever it is, remove yourself from it and come not near her door. Don't let any of these temptations take you down. Now come here to the book of James chapter 1. We'll come here in just a minute. What do you do when a temptation comes along? Because lo, they're going to come. And they're going to put themselves upon you in a pretty powerful way. What do you do? How do you handle it? Well, you have got to recognize it when it comes. You know what it is. And the temptation is there. Oh, I need something to help me. Oh, I've got this craving. You have got to. Now, I have found this. I've told those who need to overcome smoking addiction and alcohol addiction and even it has helped out in some cases of cocaine addiction that I have been able to pass on to people who know those who are hooked on cocaine, which is this. Whenever you get an urge, whenever you get a strong feeling for that you've got to have whatever substance it was that you had before, get yourself a whole batch of lemons. And whenever you get a craving, take a lemon, cut a little hole in the small end of it, and then squeeze it and suck on it. And just keep that with you. And squeeze it and suck on it. Very good, because Your body is receiving something because it's craving something. And what the lemon juice will do will help cleanse the system, will bring you vitamin C, will help you regain your control. Very important to do. And what the lemon juice does, it helps clean out the liver. Now, you can take as many as you can. When you get too much, your lips may get a little puckered and you may have a little lemon sore on the inside of your mouth temporarily. But you can overcome that. But that helps cleanse the liver, helps end the urge. Now, let's come here to verse 13, James, the first chapter. James 1, verse 13. Do not let anyone who is tempted say, I'm being tempted by God, because God is not tempted by evil, neither tempts he, and he himself tempts no one with evil. It's your own lust. It is Satan the devil. It is the society around you. Oh, and let's put in there another thing which unhinges your mind and sets you up for all kinds of addiction is the music. The rock music, the rap music, and all of that. And I tell you, the most brainless people in the world are those who drive through the neighborhood with the windows down and their low booming boxes going boom, boom, and the whole neighborhood is shaking and every house is shaking as they drive by, and they sit there and nod their heads, hey, I'm cool. Now continuing in verse 14. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away and enticed of his own lust. So the temptation comes along and starts drawing you away, and then you're entrapped by your own lust, your own selfishness, your own desire to please the self and to feed the addiction. Now, when you give into that, after lust has conceived, so this is a process that takes place. And each point along the line, you can say no. You can get up and run away from it. You can go get away from it. You can replace your thoughts with something else. You can do something else, or in the cases I mentioned, grab a lemon. Okay. After lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So there's a process. All of this you can stop up to the point of sin. And sin, when it is completely finished, brings forth death. That's the end result of all of this. Now let's finish here. Verse 16. Do not deceive yourselves, my beloved brethren. Every time you justify giving in to a sin or temptation, you are deceiving yourself and you're staying in deception, and you are serving self and Satan. Now let's talk a little bit about drug addiction for senior citizens. A lot of people are on drugs for many different things. And a lot of senior citizens like to talk about the drugs that they have and kind of say, well, I take this one, I take that one, what do you take? And as a comment was made, the biggest drug pushers now are the pharmacies and the drug companies. If, for example, Jim and Betty Hiles, they're way past 16 into their 70s, they were talking to someone, they said, how old are you? And they were surprised when they told them what their age was. And then they said, and by the way, we don't take any medicine. You don't take any medicine? Well, why? They're trying to take care of themselves and eat right and so forth. So a lot of senior citizens are addicts to the medicines that the doctors give you. And you are as much hooked as the addict who shoots up cocaine or heroin that you condemn. And a lot of it is because you have not taken care of your health as you've gotten older. And that's a struggle. I know what that's like. And I have to take care of my health. And I've had to learn. I've had to just come to myself and say, Fred, if you don't take care of yourself, nobody will. Now, just an aside, for people who don't know the Word of God, you need to understand about clean and unclean meats. A lot of sicknesses are caused by pork, by shrimp, by lobster, by all the things that God said don't eat. And there's a reason he said don't eat it, because he wants you to be healthy. All right. Now let's get back here on what do you do mentally? How do you handle it mentally? Let's come here to Proverbs 5 and verse 20. Proverbs 5 and verse 20. And will you, my son, be ravaged with a strange woman? Now, as I said, substitute that for whatever the addiction is. Will you be ravaged by marijuana, cocaine, methamphetamine? Will you be ravaged by pornography? Will you be ravaged by prescription drugs? Whatever it is, see, just put that in there and that's what it is. And embrace the bosom of a stranger. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of God, and he ponders all his goings. Now, God is there to help you. God is there to give you the strength that you need. That's why the book of Proverbs, as well as the whole Bible. Now, here's the key. You can bank on this. What is it? What is it they say? Take it to the bank. Verse 22. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. In other words, he's going to be a complete slave to his lusts and his sins, and that's what's going to control him. Now, if he doesn't get a hold of himself and begin to work at overcoming the addiction, now notice verse 23, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. That's talking about an awful lot of people in the world today. Awful lot of people in the problems and difficulties that they are in. All right, let's come over here to chapter 8. Chapter 8. Nope, chapter 6. There's some things we need to cover here in chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 20. Chapter 6 and verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. Again, reprogramming your mind. Consider your father God. Consider your mother, as it were, the church, but not in the strictest sense. Bind them continually upon your heart. Now notice how many times we've talked about the heart and what you need to do to control your thoughts. Bind them. Make it a part of the way that you think. Make it a part of the way that you act. Make it a part of the way, because this is the only way you're going to get reprogrammed. It's not going to happen any other way. That's why, as was brought up about some of these programs that are by the state, well, the state can't tell you about God because they're forbidden. So they have a 3-step or 8-step or 12-step program that they go through, and it only takes you so far. And that's why there are so many repeats, as we have mentioned before, that those who go through the drug rehab, sometimes they've got to go through 2 or 3 or 4, sometimes 5 times until they come to the point that they say, oh, I'm tired of it and I got to stop. What happened? Finally made the choice. They've got to quit. So here's a way you won't have to go back and repeat. Bind them continually upon your heart, and tie them about your neck. When you go, it shall lead you. When you sleep, it shall keep you. When you awake, it shall talk with you. Now, what does that mean? It means this. Every person talks to himself all day long, right? That's called thinking within. So if you have the laws and commandments of God that you are thinking on, it is going to talk with you as you go. In other words, you're going to think in the right way. It's going to help you overcome. Who said it? What was it? Zig Ziglar or Paul Harvey? Get rid of stinking thinking. I think I even gave some sermons on stinking thinking. If you don't have those, you can write for them. Let's fast forward this and turn to the other side, please. I need to mention also something that's important, which is this. There are a lot of medications that people need. They may not necessarily be addictive medications, but they need them. And if you're in that category, then that's fine. Take those, no problem. However, do yourself a favor and do some research, because there are a lot of things that you can find with natural remedies, herbs, and things like this, which will help you. For example, I just talked to a diabetic up in the Northwest, and he's had a terrible diabetic problem for a long time. So he found out about cinnamon and started taking quite a bit of cinnamon. And lo and behold, he's lost 85 pounds. And he has cut his insulin that he has to take every day in half. So he told his doctor what he's doing. He says, it works. As long as it works, keep at it. He said, you're better off. So look at that with other things too, because there are a lot of things that can be done to help your body and your system so you can function well without having to be on various drugs and medications. And lots of times a doctor will say, you need this and you need that and you need the other thing. And understand this, you may or may not need them. You need to find out for yourself, because most doctors operate their practice based upon their malpractice insurance policies. So they prescribe things for people that they really don't need to cover themselves in case of a lawsuit. Do you need to realize that? A lot of doctors do not practice to help you. They practice to minimize their malpractice insurance, and some doctors have to pay $200,000 a year malpractice insurance. So you can understand where they're coming from. Which then gets back to another whole thing about, not only are we to guard the door of our minds, but maybe we ought to say we ought to guard the door of our stomachs. And what goes in it, you see, and what we put there. Now, Jim was telling me about a woman who had been consigned to drugs because of mental difficulties, emotional problems, and the state said, well, you need this, and we'll provide it for you, and you can get your prescription over here. And she took it and gained weight and gained weight and gained weight. And he saw her here recently down at a local restaurant, and he sat there and kept looking at her and looking at her and say, I know this woman, I know this woman. So he went up and he said, are you so-and-so? Said, yeah. Said, my, you've really lost a lot of weight. She said, yes. She said, I just had to make up my mind to stop these medicines and lose weight. So she figured it out herself. Now, what does that tell you? That comes right into what we've said all along, right? You have got to come to yourself and make the decision and commit to doing it. Not giving excuses, not blaming other people, but take responsibility for yourself, your mind, your body, and your life. Now, also another suggestion was brought up with this. A man went to a doctor and said, well, I'm having trouble sleeping. And now he's discovered that his problem in sleeping was not what the doctor thought it was. And the doctor said, rather than give him any real understanding, he said, well, here, take this drug. And he said, well, what is it? And he said, oh, it's non-addictive. And what you're up against is this. A lot of the drug salesmen
convince the doctors to prescribe these things and give samples of it. So what this man did, he went home, checked up the drug on the internet. The first thing it said is, this drug is addictive. So you need to understand, people can get themselves in very bad situations when they give the responsibility of their health and their bodies and their minds to professional people who are locked into a system and the way that they do things. Now, they're able to help a lot of people. They're able to do a lot of good. There is a place for MDs. There is a place for chiropractors. There is a place for acupuncture. There is a place for herbs, etc. But it's got to be in the right way. Now, there are a lot of doctors who are so busy that they have their nurses just line them up and overbook and run them in, run them out, give them this, give them that, not even checking what to do. And please understand this. Doctors are not taught anything about nutrition. Now, a good book you need to get is by Kevin Trudeau, which is Natural Cures the Doctors Don't Want You to Know. And you might be surprised if you are on a lot of prescription drugs or prescription drugs that you probably can reduce the amount that you are taking or eliminate them altogether. So you need to look at that, because you may be in the addicted position and not think you're addicted because the doctor has prescribed it. Remember, I did mention addiction to prescription drugs when we first started. Now, verse 23. This is what the world does not like. Proverbs 6 and verse 23. The commandment is a lamp. We're living in a dark world and you need to see where you're going, and the commandments give you light. And the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, what does it mean, reproofs of instruction? Instructions which tell you, do this, don't do that. Follow this, don't follow that. This is evil, this is good. Instructions, reproofs of instructions are a way of life to keep you from the evil woman, or remember I said whatever your addiction is, put it in there, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. And isn't that what it is when all the dealers come along? You know, here, try some. Hey, well, how much does it cost? Oh, it's free. Try it. Get them hooked. That's what they did. That's what they did with crack cocaine. Destroyed lives, destroyed communities, destroyed whole areas of big cities. And it was hard to get those crack addicts off of it. Some of them, the only way they could get them out of the addiction was because they had committed crimes and they had to go to jail and they couldn't get any there. However, there are smugglers of drugs who bring it right into the jails. I've heard people say that, you know, when I was in jail for a drug thing, I could have gotten it right there. And right here in Hollister, what did they just find here recently? Dolores read it in the paper. A probation officer working for the county was pushing drugs and carrying a gun. So how corrupt is the world? Now, we'll talk about what you need to do. Let's go through here, okay? Notice, lust not after her beauty or after the effect that you want from the drug or whatever it is in your heart. They're again in your heart. See, all these decisions are within. Neither let her take you with her eyelids. And where do you first see that? On Bugs Bunny cartoons, right? Also, Minnie Mouse would flatter her, you know, move her eyelids. And what do they have? Look at the look of every woman on the cover of every woman's magazine, and what do you find? Some kind of look, some kind of stare, something, you see. Right? Talking about it. For by the means of a whorish woman, or by the means of an addiction, a man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress or the drug dealer will hunt for the precious life, or the pedophile, or the pornographer. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes be not burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet be not burned? Then it talks about adultery and all those sort of things. Here, I just found out here recently that here was a man, not in a church, but one of the relatives was in the church. And he happened to work on one of these offshore oil platforms. And he was gone 2 weeks and home 2 weeks and work 2 weeks and home 2 weeks. And his wife, while he was gone the 2 weeks, had another man on his side. While he was working just before she divorced him and took everything, and the judge agreed to give her everything and make him pay for all her debts. Because that's how crooked the system is. You get the book, The Marketing of Evil, there's a whole section in on the divorce industry. And how much they are supported by the government. So what happened? He caught her and she left. Got everything. So you see, unless you have a commitment to God, believe in God, believe God, keep His commandments, you're always going to have the subterfuge of deceitful human nature, whether it be man, whether it be woman, whether it be boy, whether it be girl, whether it is young, whether it is old, whatever your situation is, it's going to be there. And it's going to cause you terrible and miserable things in your life. Now, verse 32. But whosoever commits adultery with a woman, or we can do it this way, whoever becomes addicted to any of the form of addictions that we've been talking about, and especially substance abuse, lacks understanding. And He that does it destroys his own soul. Destroy your mind, destroy your heart, destroy your ability to think, to reason, to work. All of those things are destroyed. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. That is unless you change and repent and turn to God. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Come over here to chapter 8 now. Come here to chapter 8. Here's what the book of Proverbs does. It's called wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God, that it's available to everyone in the world. Not just those in the church. Everyone in the world. Right and wrong, good and evil, truth and error. See? And the first place to come in making up your mind is to realize there are absolutes, and you need to begin thinking in the terms of absolutes, not in the realm of the gray areas where temptation lurks. Proverbs 8 and verse 1. Does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? How many books are out there written by how many people saying this, you know, get rid of this, stop this, how to overcome drugs, how to overcome family problems, how to overcome all of these difficulties. These are written by people who have wisdom that God has provided that is there in the world, and it is much like we find here in the book of Proverbs. She stands in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places by the path. In other words, it's out there for you to see and hear and understand. Now, verse 5. All you simple, understand wisdom. Begin to make right decisions. That's what the whole book of Proverbs is about, to give you wisdom, to give you the means of making the choices, you see. And you fools, be you of an understanding heart. Listen to these things. here, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Now, this is introducing the rest of the book of Proverbs. This chapter, chapter 8 and chapter 9, is introducing the rest of the book of Proverbs, because you will see when we get to chapter 10, it suddenly changes. All of this, from chapter 1 through chapter 9, is setting the stage so that you can begin to use the Proverbs in a right way and understand what they are about. Verse 7, for my mouth shall speak truth. Let's understand something. Truth is what you need to seek in everything. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. So you see, now we're starting to get the contrast. Truth and wickedness. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing froward or perverse in them. Now notice verse 9. They are all plain to him that understands, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. Wisdom is better than rubies. All the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it. Because you see, if you lose your mind, if you lose your emotions, if you lose your health, you can't buy it with those things. What is talking about? Now, let's come down here. Let's continue on. Read all the rest of it, but come down here to verse 32. Now, I mentioned last time or the time before, study the Proverbs on your knees. Now, what do I mean by that? Obviously, you can't do it all at once. You open your Bible to the book of Proverbs, and you start reading and praying and studying. Ask God, help me to understand. Help me to put this together. Now, you don't have to be there with your eyes closed. You know, a lot of people think the way you pray is point your hands like this upward to heaven, and you close your eyes and you mutter. No, right while you're reading it, you can pray. Ask for understanding. It's going to take time. This is a long-term project, and if you need to, go back and do it again, and always come back and refresh your memory with it, because this is going to help you. Now, verse 32. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are those, or are they, that keep my ways. Are you tired of the curses and all the penalties that come along from the addiction that you're in? Are you tired of the self-deception and the lies that you've been telling yourself, that other people have been telling you? Are you tired of being depressed and having your mind all messed up because of these things? Listen. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Don't say, oh, well, it's just some preacher. Or he's some religious nut or whatever. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, anxiously anticipating how you can use the new truth that you're coming across in the book of Proverbs. And whoso finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. God will bless you. Even in the letter of the law. Even in the society in general. See, because where did we start out? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every human being would benefit from it. Now notice verse 36. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. You're doing it to yourself. And all they that hate me, can't stand God, don't want God, don't want the Bible, get rid of it, it's too restrictive. All they that hate me love
death.
Do you think about that? Let's just do this. Why don't you do a survey of all the famous rock stars who are drug addicts and great abominable sinners in most cases, and most of their music is made to destroy your mind and get you to give in to all of these various addictions that we've been talking about. And as David Kupelian brought out in his book, The Marketing of Evil, one of the first songs which came along that started people into thinking along promiscuous lines, and then one step leads to another, which was the song of this. If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you are with. Now that sounds innocent enough that, oh, that rhymes. Isn't that interesting? Set to a nice tune. But it programs the mind for promiscuity. All they that hate me love death. There you go. That's it. Now, I'll let you read chapter 9, but we'll just read a few verses here. Verse 6. Forsake the foolish and live. Now, if you've got friends that pull you down, they're not your friends. If you've got friends that pressure you and intimidate you to go along with what they want to do, which is sinful. Now, especially if you're a teenager or a young person, you know, you got to get along and go along with everybody. See? And you have been brainwashed in school in herd mentality. You've got to have people around. You can't do anything alone. That's exactly what Satan wants, to lead you astray. It was brought up about an ad which talks about friends and what they do and peer pressure. Corporations are out to make you buy what they want. And here's this one ad. This daughter comes up, says, Dad, I need $80. And he looks up from his computer and says, what for? Or whatever he was doing. I don't think it was at his computer at that point. She says, to buy some jeans. She says, everybody has them. You got to get along, go along. You got to conform. Why do you have to conform to the herd? See? So he says, well, let's go look at it. So they went and found it on online. Now, I don't know if he ordered it online, but I think the gist of it was that, well, hey, he's going to agree with this because he's an investor, and now he's going to invest money in this company because they're selling these ridiculous, stupid jeans at $80 a pop. And you can just repeat that over and over again. Oh, I got to have these shoes because everybody's got them. Oh, I got to wear these baggy jeans, which, you know, the crotch is down to the knees, and I'm walking on the bottom of the walking on the bottom of the cuff, and you've got to have this hair hanging down, and you've got to have this black jacket, and you've got to have these Nike shoes. All original thought, right? No, you've been programmed. You've been had. You are addicted. It's the uniform. All right. Forsake the foolish and live, and go on the way of understanding. He that reproves a scorner gets to himself shame. That's what happens when you say, oh, that's wrong. Who are you to tell me what to do? You know, you're just an old fogey. He that rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Which are you? Do you have to make the choice? Are you willing to learn and change? Are you willing to come to yourself and repent and overcome these addictions? Quit going along with the crowd. Know this, Jesus said, Broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to death, and many are those who go in that gate. Know this. If the whole world does it, stop and think, why should I? Now, maybe there's some things that they do that are good, but you have to consider and make the choice. That's what we're talking about here in all these things. All right, let's come to chapter 10, and let's see, you can read the rest of chapter 9. Let's go to chapter 9 and verse 16, because my eyes just happened to fall on it. Whoso is simple, that is, does not have understanding, let him turn here, that is, to wisdom of God. And as for him that wants understanding, she says to him, okay, no, he says of the simple, turn here and come and sin with me. That's what it is. And she says to him, the one who lacks understanding, stolen waters are sweet. Oh, this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to you. Whether it's a woman, whether it's illicit sex, whether it's a man, whether it's homosexuality, male or female. I mean, we've got to cover the whole thing, don't we? It's kind of like this cartoon that we had about the poor clerk who didn't know what to say, you know, with the attack against Merry Christmas. You know, well, should I say, have a good winter season, happy holiday? You know, I forget everything that she said, or winter solstice, a festival, you know. And the woman in the cartoon, she said, Merry Christmas. Okay. Stolen waters are sweet. Oh, this is good. Never had anything like it. Okay. Eaten in secret, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knows not that the dead are there, and that our guests are in the depths of hell. Now, not many people realize it, but during the Civil War, they had hordes of women, prostitutes, following wherever the soldiers went. And this program said that more people died of venereal disease than were killed in the Civil War in America. Amazing, isn't it? Now, chapter 10. No, not finished there. Verse 18, chapter 9. But he knows not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Now, chapter 10. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father. Now, here we have a contrast. Right and wrong, good and evil, wise and foolish, diligent and sluggard, and so forth, as we will see. But a foolish son is heaviness of his mother. Now, when you go back, and you read what God said to Eve, that in sorrow shall you bring forth children. Now, that's not just the pain of childbearing. This sorrow here, heaviness of mother, is why? Because women have more of an emotional attachment to their children than the fathers, and they worry and they stew about their children, and it just becomes heaviness and depression. If your children are out there doing things you know they shouldn't do, and you have no control over it, you don't know where they are, and you don't know who they're with, and it doesn't matter what age they are, whether they still live in your home or whether they have their own home or whatever. Heaviness of his mother. Regardless of the age. Now, verse 2. Treasures of wickedness profits nothing. Now, that's clear and easy to understand, isn't it? Now, recently, a woman didn't know it, but she got from the bank some counterfeit bills. And she didn't know they were counterfeit until she went in to buy something. And now they have a machine where you can put, say, the 20s, the 50s, and 100s, just lay it on there, and it'll instantly tell whether it's counterfeit or not. So she got $700 worth of these bills. I think there were $100 bills, all counterfeit from the bank. And she went to the bank and said, hey, I want my money. I got these from you. He said, sorry, we're not responsible for it. So now if you get $100 in the bank, have your own little black pen and go over it. Okay, verse 2 again. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. How many deaths and murders occur because of trying to split the spoil of illicit gain? How many are in jail now because of trying to get treasures? Look at how many corporate executives have been indicted here in the past 3 years for what? Back at the end of the 90s when they were bumping up all the oil and gas and all the electric prices and everything, and they were buying and selling back and forth to each other to create a shortage in the market and all this sort of thing. They found out, hey, they made billions of dollars. How about Enron? $11 billion. That was fraud. Those who sold their stock in time lucked out, but the others were left holding the bag. The treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. In other words, do the right thing all the time. Don't succumb to the temptation or the sin or the desire or the lust. Now verse 3. Now you see how these change into simple to understand things. And these are going to help program the mind. Reprogram it in doing what you need to do to get your mind squared around. Verse 3. The Lord will not allow the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casts away the substance of the wicked. True, isn't it? Whenever you get involved in addiction, what happens? It's going to cost you a lot of money, and it's going to cost a lot of other people a lot of money. And in the case of teenagers and parents, it's going to cost the parents a lot of money, and it's going to take away your substance, especially if you get involved, you get arrested, you go to court, you go to jail, you go to all, and the jails are full of these things, see? Taking away substance. Yes, it does. Now, verse 4, he becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, which tells you what do you need to do. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. Quit being lazy. Why are you poor? Because you won't work. The city of New Orleans is a testament to the whole welfare system of the poor that depend on the handout, and they don't want to work. Now they had to get out. Some of them had to work. Some of them say, hey, boy, I'm glad I'm working. I'm not going back to New Orleans. I'm not going to be enslaved into that welfare system anymore. But it had to take Hurricane Katrina to get them out of there so they could see the difference, you see. Living proverb. So all the way through, we'll read just a few more here and then we'll finish. Verse 5. He that gathers in summer is a wise son. Because that's when the crops ripen, right? You're not going to go out there in the middle of the winter and pick apples. You're not going to go out there in the middle of the winter and dig up potatoes. You're not going to go out there in the middle of the winter find any fruit or anything you can eat. See? Today, all you have to do is run down to the supermarket and we live in an artificial world. You don't have to work, to get your food, you don't have to dig, you don't have to plant, you don't have to sow, you don't have to harvest, you don't have to do any of those things. Just walk down the store if it's close enough or get in your car and go down to the supermarket and voila, the world is there for you. Where does milk come from? Oh, from a carton, Mommy. I'll tell you one story on Rochelle. She was about 3 years old, and it was when we were living out north of Hollister on Lover's Lane. And we were in the throes of a drought at that time. So we're coming back from church, and here's this big area where they had all the sprinklers going to irrigate for the crop. And we're going along. She says, look, Daddy, it's raining. Hey? Because in her 3 years, she hadn't seen Anyway, she heard about it, so she said, look, Dad, Daddy, it's raining. But notice the last half of this, see? Right and wrong, good and evil. But he that sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. Now today, there are a lot of people who are hooked on drugs or wasted out on marijuana. And you will find in many of the building trades, a lot of these guys don't get up till noon. I know one man who's having to do, having a house built. And some of the guys he's dealing with are so-called recovering drug addicts. They don't show up on time, so what does he do? He knows where they live, drives down there, and sure enough, 10:30 in the morning, the guys who's supposed to be out there working is still in bed. You have the other extreme of those who are on meth and methamphetamine. They're so high and hyper, they get out there and they do it as quickly as they can, and they take shortcuts, and they have sloppy workmanship. So here it is, right here, right in the book of Proverbs. Now, let's read one more verse, and then we'll end it here for today. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Why is there so much crime? Because they're wicked. They're not taught the way of God. Just think how much better it would be if the schools could teach the Ten Commandments, or if the schools could sit down and teach out of the book of Proverbs. Give the children some consciousness of God so that they will have the understanding to know that they have to be responsible for what they do. And they're going to be held accountable. See, most of the world's in the middle ground. They're sitting there in the middle ground and they say to their kids, don't get involved in pornography. I've got this online so you can't get into pornography. And they're sitting there reading a catalog from Victoria's Secrets. Or the local paper, which the ads for women's wear are nearly pornographic. So they have, and the kid looks at that and says, huh? I'm not to watch pornography? What are you reading? Oh, well, this is just a catalog. So you see the things that you're confronted with. Okay. Let's go ahead and we'll end it here for today. We'll continue. I'll probably do one, maybe two more sermons on the addicted society, especially on this of reprogramming. These things are intended then so you can get your mind reprogrammed in the right way with the Word of God. The Canadian office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6B5B2, Australia, GPO 1574, Sydney 2001, Auckland, New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai 2981, Nigeria, Post Office Box 1174, UYO, that is UYO, 520001, Akwa Ibom State, Nigeria, West Africa. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, CM81WZ. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Willoro, Willoro, Park,
Republic of South Africa, 1731.